welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you for Bard County. I was revved and ready to go, waiting for the click to happen there. I felt a little bit like a race car driver that was on the drag strip and the engine was and got to wait for the green light at the bottom of the Christmas tree. So, hi, my name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. You're tuned into the Refresh Radio program here on WMIE 91.5 FM. You might also be listening 1510 AM or some of the other transmission frequencies that they utilize to rebroadcast the signal. But wherever you are listening, you might even be listening online. So I thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program, and that this will be a program that will bring excitement about God's Word, enlightenment from God's Word, empowerment to live a victorious life that, you know, the devil tried to deprive you of your whole life. So I want to start off today by saying thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. If you are in the central part of Brevard County and your air conditioning is misbehaving, not obeying your desires, it could be that it's a thermostat issue, it might be an air handler issue, a condensation line issue, a condensation pump issue, it might be your compressing unit on the outside, wherever the problem might be. I want to encourage you to call the folks at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284, and have them come out and take a look at your system. They might be able to get you up and running within a matter of minutes. I actually had Bill out at my house, you know, a year or two ago. He literally had the problem resolved in just a fraction of the time that you might think. It was, okay, here's the problem. Let me show you. I you know, he has the ability to show you. He says, look, this part is no good. And he puts it all back together, and boom, the system was working just fine. And I trust him implicitly with air conditioning issues, and I think that you will find him a blessing in your life as well. 321-759-3284. 321-759-3284 if you happen to be in central Brevard County. So today we are going to return to the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 3. And we had started this process on Friday about God delivering us. And a lot of people think that God has delivered us over to destruction as soon as the natural resources that run out. And let me begin reading at verse number 10 today. Well, we'll go back up to verse number 9. It says this: so the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they marched on that roundabout route 7 days. And there was no water for the army, nor for the animals that followed them. And the king of Israel said, alas, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Edom, went down to him. Then Elisha said to the king of Israel, what have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. But the king of Israel said to him, no, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. But now bring me a musician. Then it happened, when the musician played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches, for thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. Also, you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city, and shall cut down every good tree and stop up every spring of water and ruin every good piece of land with stones. Now it happened in the morning, when the grain offering was offered, that suddenly water came by the way of Edom, and the land was filled with water. So yesterday we talked about people who thought that as soon as natural resources dried up, that was it. And you will have people in your life that whenever they see the least little bit of adversity, they're willing to cut and run. And I understand that temptation. There was a point in time when we were very early in pastoring at Merit Assembly of God, and it was very difficult on our family. My wife had gone out and got a job working the graveyard shift. They call it the graveyard shift because, you know, it'll put you in your grave early if you will. And as a result of that, and she kept up the ministry at the church as well. And so sometimes she would come to church straight from work. You know, she'd get off. She might get to lay down for a little bit of time, but then, you know, we'd be up and ministering. And there'd be a couple of times a day, a couple of times a week where she might go 48 hours without any sleep. It was not a healthy thing for her. We thought it was going to be the perfect shift for her, and it wasn't. And even though it was difficult at that time, and we talked about the challenges and said, well, why don't you go out and find another job? And she would say this: God hasn't released me from my job. She knew that she was there to represent Jesus, not just to earn a paycheck. And eventually that season came to a close. God said, now you're free to go. The timing was unmistakable. And I will tell you that we did not realize what had happened at exactly that point in time. But the byproduct was that several years later, we saw godly fruit that came out of that very difficult season. You need to have people surrounding you in your life that, even though life gets difficult, they're not willing to just cut and run. That same season at church, I prayed this prayer: God, I can't keep doing this to my family. At that point in time, I had three young kids, a wife who was really hurting physically because of the work schedule. The finances weren't there. And I prayed and I said, God, I'm going to give you one more year, and then I'll have to do something else if things haven't improved at that point in time. Now, I want you to understand there are a lot of people who pray that type of prayer with regularity. But God corrected me about that prayer years later. And he was merciful and he was good. And we saw a move of God. We saw souls saved. We saw people added to the church. And we saw the finances begin to take off. But there was a time when a shift happened and we went into another difficult season where 40% of the congregation over the course of a year relocated all across the United States. It wasn't a church split or anything, just people moved. And I said, God, what's going on? And he said, do you remember that prayer that you prayed? And I was like, I remembered that prayer. And he said, I'm God, you're not. And that means that God is the one who gets to give me my marching orders as an enlisted man in the army of the Lord. I don't give orders to him. I position myself to hear and obey the orders that he gives to me in my life. And he said, how many times do you want to go around this mountain? And I said, once will be enough. Once will be enough. I don't give ultimatums to God anymore. It's like, where else can you go, said Peter? Where else could we go? You have the words of eternal life. When you truly believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, there's no one who's going to come to the Father by any other means other than through Jesus Christ, where else are you going to go? You realize that in the center of God's will, even when it is difficult, it is the best place on the planet to be. Doesn't mean that you're never going to have what I call growing opportunities. When you are running out of natural resources, it is a growing opportunity. And so Jehoram went straight to destruction and deliverance over to our enemies, and it's going to be horrible, and oh my goodness. And Jehoshaphat has a different response. Jehoshaphat said, is there a prophet of the Lord here that may we hear of the Lord by him? Jehoshaphat's response was, let us pray. Let us pray. Now, I will tell you that whenever you run out of natural resources, it's a good time to pray. But it's also a good time to pray when you have natural resources. It's a good time to pray when life is good, and it's a good time to pray when life is challenging. It's a good time to pray when you are young. It's a good time to pray when you are old. It's a good time to pray when you're at home. It's a good time to pray when you're at church. It's a good time to pray when you're at school. It is always a good time to pray. And so Jehoshaphat comes along, and he says, don't panic. We need to hear from God. What a novel concept. You know, there's the old story of a person, and the crisis has intensified, and the person of faith stands up and says, folks, what we need to do is pray. And another person respond, is it so bad that it has come to that? Folks, we need to realize how vitally important it is for us to hear from God. When God speaks over our situation, that's the voice of authority. That's the voice we listen to. Not everybody does. There was some people that came to Jeremiah and said, we need you to hear from God and tell us what we should do. And Jeremiah says, you know what? You made a mistake. They said, what mistake did we make? He said, well, you came to me and asked me to tell you what God says about our situation. And when I tell you, you're not going to do what God tells you. And they said, of course we are. When you tell us that God says something, we're going to do it. He says, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to hear from God, and I'll tell you what he said. And he comes back and he delivers the message, and the people said, well, that's not what God said. Too many people only want to hear from God when what God has to say is pleasing to their spirit, not when it is a crisis moment and God's wisdom and God's counsel goes against their natural intuition. And I will tell you this, supernatural direction from God is always better than the natural wisdom this world has to offer. So, supernatural resources. Jehoshaphat says, we need to hear from God. Now, what I'm getting ready to share with you doesn't have anything to do with deliver us from evil. What I'm getting ready to share with you is something that is tremendously important in the kingdom of God. You could go back to 1 Kings, and I may go back there, back to chapter 19, because in order to fully understand what is taking place in 2 Kings chapter 3, you've got to go back to the beginnings of Elisha's ministry, which we'll discover in 2 Kings chapter 19. So, one of the servants, this is in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse number 11, the second part. So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, "Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah." I want to talk to you today about this concept of discipleship and mentorship that is very, very important. And its beginnings may not always be glamorous, but don't look at it through a microscope. Look at it from a panoramic view, and you'll see, not just in the moment, but in what God is preparing for that. Elisha had been prepared by Elijah to be able to speak to kings, because Elijah had prophesied, had ministered faithfully to Ahab, who was Jehoram's father. And so this servant, it wasn't a servant of Jehoshaphat, it was a servant of the king of Israel. It was a servant of Jehoram. And he said, "You know what? Elisha is here. Elijah used to minister to your dad. Elisha is here." And his ministry began pouring water on the hands of Elijah. Okay? So let me take you back to 2 Kings chapter 19. And it says, this is in verse number 15. "Then the Lord said to him, 'Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria.'" That was something that needed to be done. "And you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So God tells Elijah, "Elisha is going to be the person that I train up to take your place." And so he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elisha passed by him and threw his mantle on him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" So Elisha turned back to him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. So what happened was Elijah thinks that he is having an encounter with Elisha, and so he shows up and he anoints him. And when he does that, Elisha says, "If I'm going to be really successful at this, I need to abandon what I have been doing, and I need to follow and serve Elijah." And Elijah looks back and says, "What are you doing?" He didn't realize the value of the relationship that Elisha had. And there would come a time later on where Elijah is getting ready to be taken up in a chariot of fire, And Elisha is continually being discouraged by people and say, hey, you know that he's getting ready to be taken away. And Elisha said, yes, you know, but don't talk about it. And it comes to the end, and Elijah says, you followed me all of this time. What can be done for you? And he says, I want a double portion of your spirit. And Elijah says, you have asked a very difficult thing, but if you see me when I am transported away, it shall be done for you. Elisha was the one who initiated the following. There needs to be a person in your life that is a mentor to you, and there needs to be a person in your life today that you are mentoring, that you are looking. But it may not always be glamorous, okay? So there may be people who are in the mentoring position, and they may not understand what is going on with why this person is hanging around, but the temptation from the person who is being mentored may be that they look at the process of service and they don't see that it is very glamorous. Elisha's ministry started as simply being a person who washed the hands of Elijah. Think about that. How would you like, back in the day, back in really fancy hotels, they used to have washroom attendants. Washroom attendants made sure that there were towels there. They made sure that everything was clean. They made sure that all of the supplies that needed to be in there were there. And there were people who did that. That was what ministry started like for Elisha. But it wasn't where ministry ended. Don't get so myopic about the washing of hands or the cleaning of the bathrooms or the changing out of light bulbs or teaching the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade boys Sunday school class, which was the most challenging class in our church. Don't look at that moment, but if you will allow for God to guard your heart and use that moment and develop in you faithfulness that says, I am not leaving. I am not quitting. I am not going to abandon, no matter how difficult it gets. You will find that God takes a faithful servant and he elevates them. You might start off washing someone's hands. You may end up speaking to kings and delivering a message of encouragement and hope. So today's message is very simple. You know, it's that. If you see people who are panicking, say, you know what? We have another recourse rather than anxiety. We have the ability to pray. I recently read a story about a person who was prone to worry. And worry was consuming his life. And so what he did was he made a decision that instead of worrying every single day, he was only going to worry on one day a week. And so he determined what day of the week it was going to be that he worried about things. And so if something came up during the week that would cause him to worry, he would write it down and he would put it in a box. And then when the day to deal with the worrying came, then he would open the box and he would begin to worry about those things. The only thing that happened was the things that he was tempted to worry about in the moment, by the time he had actually set aside the time to worry about it, most of those things had already been resolved. I remember when my wife and I went on an anniversary for our cruise, went on a cruise for our anniversary. Sorry about that. I don't remember 99% of the people who were on that cruise, but I remember a guy in a wheelchair. This goes back 25 years. I remember a guy in a wheelchair who on the back of his wheelchair had a message that said this: 90% of the things you worry about never come to pass. Don't worry. I remember a guy whose physical ability, his physical mobility was just a small fraction of what everybody else on that ship was able to do. And I still remember the mandate that he was trying to live out before everybody else is don't worry. Don't let worry steal from you the time that you could be praying about the situation. In 2 Kings chapter 3, Jehoshaphat says, let's pray. What we need is to hear from God. Is there anybody here who hears from God? And you know what? There was somebody. There was somebody who was plowing a field one day and got a call from God and said, God, your call is more important to me than what I'm doing right now. No matter what the economic consequences are, your call is more important. And he positioned himself, rather than just being a person in charge, to a person who developed a heart of service. Washing Elijah's hands, following him, walking with him, learning what it was like to hear from God. And in the midst of all of that, God was actually preparing him to help bring deliverance to a bunch of three kings who really didn't know what they were doing. But God said, I've got a guy who knows how to hear from me. He's got a word. He's going to give you instruction. And when it happens, what you listen to what he has to say, and it's going to be a glorious, glorious outcome. It's going to look a lot different than what it would have looked like if you just rested on your natural resources. So Monday is looking up because there are still people who are seeking the face of God. They're still serving faithfully, even in obscurity, but they're not going to remain there. God's going to raise them up as a voice of influence. I pray today that you have a blessed and wonderful day, and we will see you back tomorrow right here on the Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.